Lesson 1. Faces in the Mountain. Visitors to South Dakota find that a trip to Mount Rushmore is almost obligatory, for there they can see one of America's most awe-inspiring monuments. Carved into a granite mountainside, the colossal heads of four United States presidents are visible for a distance of 60 miles. Side by side, the visages of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Theodore Roosevelt range from 50 to 70 feet in height. They are the work of the remarkable American sculptor and dramatic personality, Gutzon Borglum. Born in Idaho in 1867, Borglum led an artist's vagabond life in America and Europe for 20 years before settling in New York City in 1801. There, he soon achieved an international reputation as a sculptor. The idea that small is beautiful would not have applied to Borglum. His view was that bigger is better. In fact, it's said that he complained, "There is not a monument in this country as big as a snuffbox." The impetus for the Mount Rushmore project came in 1926, when the state historian of South Dakota, knowing Borglum's views, invited him to create a monumental work of art for the Black Hills Mountain region. Borglum accepted the challenge immediately, but the project he proposed did not meet with universal approval. Many felt that the carvings would detract from the area's natural beauty. Cora Johnson, a South Dakota journalist, expressed such feelings when she wrote, "Man makes statues, but God made the mountains. Leave them alone." Borglum, however, was not one to heed this advice. The question of which national figures to honor caused much debate. Sioux Chief Red Cloud, who had fought against white encroachment on Native American lands, was one of the names proposed. Another was Susan B. Anthony, who had bewailed 19th century women's lack of the right to vote in political elections and led the struggle to emancipate them from this deprivation. The final decision, however, was left to Borglum. Washington, Jefferson, and Lincoln were obvious choices, but Borglum had a personal reason for his fourth selection, a man of enormous energy who extolled physical fitness and vigorous activity. In his own life, Borglum strove to emulate his hero, so Theodore Roosevelt became the fourth figure honored at Mount Rushmore. Money to pay for the project was a problem from the beginning, and work proceeded intermittently, especially after 1930, when the country was in the grip of the Great Depression. During those years, Borglum made frequent visits to the nation's capital seeking financial assistance. Loath to stoop to wheedling, the sculptor managed to convince a reluctant Congress to provide funding to go on with the project. Nor was lack of funds the only problem Borglum had to grapple with. Because of the hard granite rock, the difficulties of carving out the faces had at first seemed insuperable. But Borglum solved the problem by exploding small charges of dynamite to remove pieces of rock. Under his supervision, workers in harnesses suspended from the mountaintop drilled, chipped, and chiseled away at the rock. So skillful was Borglum that his eye for precise measurement enabled him to tell if a line was plumb to a quarter of an inch. During his lifetime, Borglum had earned enormous sums from the sale of his works. However, he did not embrace Benjamin Franklin's maxim, "A penny saved is a penny earned." Instead, he lived a flamboyant lifestyle. His daughter, Mary Ellis, recalls, "He loved flashy cars and hired chauffeurs to drive them." So careless was he about money that he died destitute on March 6, 1941. It was left to his son Lincoln, who had assisted him throughout, to complete the Mount Rushmore Memorial 8 months later.